You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. California Senator Kamala Harris has reportedly raised $1.5 million online in just the first day of her campaign to be president. The Wall Street Journal was reporting that came from more than 38,000 individual donors. The average contribution was $37. So you might know that Senator Harris is on a campaign to build national name recognition as well. And fact checkers are going to follow her speeches and her interviews with a different level of scrutiny. The National PolitiFact.com and PolitiFact California have already started that process. In the studio with me is Chris Nichols, based here at CAP Radio for the California team. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Beth.
Glad to have you here. And on the phone from Washington is Angie Holan, the National PolitiFact editor. Hi, Angie. Always glad to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Angie, would you start, because already I believe National worked on and has posted a fact check related to Kamala Harris and in the spotlight because of this run for the presidency?
Yes, we noticed chatter on Twitter about her candidacy, and we fact checked one of these Twitter users who was saying that she was not eligible to be president because her parents are immigrants. We rated this pants on fire wrong because she is eligible to run for president. Her parents are immigrants, but she was born in the United States. Now, I should add, we've had something of a history of fact-checking whether candidates are eligible to run for president because of the constitutional requirement that they be natural-born citizens. John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. And Barack Obama was born in Hawaii, but had rumors that he was born in Africa. So this is, for us, this is the latest candidate we've had to fact check whether she's eligible. And Senator Harris is eligible to run for president.
It does speak to people getting a sense of who she is, getting to know her background. And Chris, that's where your work came in, even though I think you also contributed to that national fact check as well. But talk a bit about the work that the California team's doing.
Well, I think a lot of people are still getting to know Kamala Harris. She is, at least on the national level, still relatively new, new to the U.S. Senate. I think people do know her for her tough questioning of some of President Trump's appointees in the Senate. But aside from that, I think there's still a lot that's unknown about her upbringing, her education, her career, her stances on key issues. So we decided to publish a short article yesterday that really just fills in some of those holes, talks about her being born in Oakland in 1964, being the daughter of immigrants, as Angie mentioned, the daughter of an immigrant mother from India, an immigrant father from Jamaica. And really some of the themes that we noticed when it comes to her upbringing, her education, are that civil rights, diversity, a focus on education, those all seem to be very important. You see that her father, he remains to this day an economics professor emeritus at Stanford. Her mother was a breast cancer researcher. They both traveled quite a bit for their careers. And those do seem to be themes that Harris has focused on in her campaigns, in her work, and seems to be really an important part of her upbringing. So we tried to capture some of that. And then we've also, looked at some of her positions on things like the border wall. I know we have a soundbite when she was on her book tour and she spoke with On The View about Trump's wall and what she thinks about it.
When I travel this country, folks have plenty enough problems that they need their president to focus on,
you know what,
instead of a wall that, by the way, because I was a prosecutor for many years, including the Attorney General of California, I specialize on transnational criminal organizations.
Yeah.
That wall ain't going to stop them.
No.
There's a real warm response to just the style of talking that she's using, kind of that comfort level with the audience. But she is going to emphasize, I think, in most public forums, that prosecutorial role that she's had both at local, state, and on the national level in politics.
Right. Her career is definitely, I mean, every step of the way, it's been in the world of law enforcement as a prosecutor, starting back in the early 1990s as a deputy district attorney in Alameda County, and then joining the San Francisco City Attorney's Office, later being elected district attorney of the city and county of San Francisco, and as I think more people know, then winning a race in 2010, a close race for California Attorney General, reelected for a second term there, and then successfully running for Senate 2 years ago. So her career definitely, you know, law enforcement is at the core of her career. It's going to be the focus, I think, of a lot of our work, both at PolitiFact California and the national team's work as to what exactly did she accomplish? Do her statements as she runs for president, do they match up with, you know, the reality of what was done in those different offices? So we will be certainly looking to scrutinize what she says and hold her to account for her record.
There's an interesting small indicator of the awareness that people have of her just in how they pronounce her first name. And Angie, I know nationally or on the state level, Chris, we don't put pronouncers of the candidates' names there, but you will often hear people say Kamala Harris. And then as they get to know
Kamala.
And then you listen to her say it, and then you understand that she says Kamala Harris. And the corrections are being made. I'm hearing it even this week. Angie, do you ever notice that?
I have to tell you, I try to avoid saying her first name because I feel like I'm not quite certain. But as more time goes on, I'm sure I'll get it down. I have noticed all sorts of different pronunciations.
State level, when she became attorney general, I was thinking, I have to get this right. And I would think to myself, it's a common name, which would remind me Kamala and give my first. But you have to listen to her say it to know the way that it is to be said right. Chris, can I wrap you back around quickly to the point about the wall and that you did a separate but related fact check? And this has to do with drug trafficking and the wall.
Right. Well, the national team has essentially fact checked this topic plenty of times. They've looked at the issue of drug smuggling. They've looked at the issue of the wall that Harris was talking about in her interview on The View. And PolitiFact has pointed out that most drugs enter the country through legal ports of entry and that drug trafficking would not necessarily be reduced by a wall. I think that's the point that Harris was making. A number of experts on the topic make this point. A number of federal reports also make this point as well.
So, Angie, I will point people to the PolitiFact.com website for more fact-checking about the wall. But on the point of President Trump, we are 2 years, as of this week, into his presidency. And that's a good checkpoint for looking at promises he made besides the wall and to what degree those have been kept. So can you share a few of those with us?
Yes. Trump has made some progress on his promises he's kept. We tracked just over 100 promises. He's kept 17, and another 11 have been rated compromise. So that means roughly about a quarter he's had either success or partial success. Now, on the other side, he has broken some promises and other promises he just hasn't been able to get done, and they're stalled. And that's about 45% of his promises that he's really not making progress on.
Well, one that was clearly kept was his promise to nominate from his list of candidates a justice to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia. That was a clear one. Let's go to another that wasn't so clear. Your pick.
Okay, I'll look at his promise to cut taxes for everyone. One of his biggest successes was a major tax bill. It cut corporate taxes. It reduced tax rates. But when we looked into the details of it, it didn't cut taxes for everyone. So we rated it compromise. And one of the issues with this tax bill is that the tax cuts for regular people, for individuals, sunset. So he got a lot, but he didn't quite get everything he promised. That one we rated compromise.
Okay, choose a broken promise. Let's look at one of those examples.
Well, this one is somewhat related to his tax bill. One of his promises was balance the federal budget fairly quickly, and that rate's promise broken. Trump came in talking about wanting to balance the budget, reduce the deficit, have spending discipline, but that's largely been abandoned now that he's in office. The tax cut bill did not have offsets to prevent it from increasing the deficit. The deficit is the how the government spends more money than it takes in every year. And Trump's legislation has caused the deficit to grow. So for all the talk we heard of fiscal discipline from Trump's party during the Obama administration, they don't seem to be walking the walk now that they hold power.
Let me try one more question, Angie. We'll see if the phone line holds. Do you have some context for this 25% success rate in terms of promises kept for this president?
Yes, the promises that Trump has been able to keep are mostly the ones he's been able to do with executive action. So he came in, he signed some executive orders, particularly on immigration. So when he acts by himself, he has success. He doesn't seem to have used his first 2 years of Republican majorities to get a whole lot of legislation passed. That would be in contrast to President Barack Obama, who got a number of big laws passed when he held Democratic majorities. Now, again, like Obama, Trump has the opposition to work with in Congress. The Democrats control the House of Representatives, so he's going to have a harder time getting legislation through.
All right, Angie, I'm going to let you go while the sound is still good. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and I know that will happen more between now and Election Day 2020. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was National PolitiFact editor Angie Holin. We'll post a link to politifact.com. You can find much more to fill your appetite for political fact-checking. In the studio still with me is Chris Nichols. And on the subject of keeping campaign promises, let's go to one of your new projects, which is the Newsom Meter.
That's right. We published and launched our Newsom Meter this month, tracking 12 of Gavin Newsom's campaign promises. He, of course, made bold promises over the last few years on housing, healthcare, education, homelessness. And we have started to publish some updates as he has made some proposals on some of these topics.
I think the updates are important because some people might say we're not even into the first month of his governorship at this point. So how can we know even in the relatively near future if a promise is or has been kept?
Well, his first week in office, with the release of his budget, he did at least make proposals. And with our project, if a candidate or in this case an executive is at least making proposals, we will typically look at those, see if they actually are evidence of some kind of concrete action or proposal towards that promise. We did rate a couple in the works. Certainly, it's too early to say whether these promises will be kept, just like President Trump, who has to rely on Congress to take action, to actually see some of his promises get achieved. Governor Newsom will rely on the legislature to take action to see if his goals get met. So one that we focused on was Newsom's promise to create universal health care in California. His budget does take some steps towards that. It proposes expanding Medi-Cal coverage for young undocumented adults in California. It also talks about expanding subsidies through Covered California to make healthcare more affordable. And we spoke with Gerald Kaminsky, director of the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research, and he weighed in on Newsom's early progress.
I think that the governor has made some pretty significant progress in terms of proposals to reduce the number of uninsured in California and to strengthen the Affordable Care Act. So I'm satisfied that he's moving things forward. He is not going to achieve health care for all with the proposals that he has proposed so far this week. But he's also said that, you know, that is a continuing goal. And I think what he's done is made a down payment on some significant steps.
So on the universal health care promise in California, that's an in the works. And let's touch one more briefly, and that is the promise to create free community college for Californians.
That's right. That was also a top promise by Newsom. California already offers 1 year of free community college to students who are eligible. Newsom proposed adding $40 million in the next fiscal year to extend that, to extend the program to 2 free years. Again, that rated in the works. We published an article about this. There are quite a few criteria and eligibility requirements. You have to be a first-time full-time student taking 12 or more semester units to be considered full-time. So it's a limited number of students that would be able to see free community college. We will see if that expands. We'll see how much it really is free community college in California when we get further into his term.
All right. That is the Newsom meter to watch at PolitiFactCalifornia.com. Thank you, Chris. And
thank you
to your team and the work that's happening in tandem right now with PolitiFact.com.
Thank you very much.
That is Chris Nichols, and you can find more at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.